Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Shingles Audio Collection, Volume 6, by Robert Bevan, Drew Hayes, and R.E. Carr. Narrated by Cal Wembley and Cassandra Miles. Alien vs. Ass, Shingles, Book 31, Robert Bevan. 1.
Pump that gas, Dougie,
said Pa, his nervous gaze darting back and forth between me and the window of Mr. Henry's gas station. Mr. Henry was leaning back in his chair, either asleep or dead. I always assumed he was dead on account of Pa said if that's ever the case and the cops ain't shown up yet, we could go in and help ourselves to a couple of hot dogs. I ain't been right yet, but I was bound to be one of these days.
God damn it, boy, faster!
I'm pumping as fast as I can, I said, looking up at the numbers spinning upward on the pump. If we were intending to pay, we'd just gone past owing $12. Pa scoffed.
You call that pumping? Let me tell you something, boy. Do you remember when I jerked off that highway patrolman to get out of a speeding ticket last week?
Sure I do. You made me watch.
That was his request, son, not mine. But that don't mean you can't learn a lesson from it. Was I holding that cock like I was posing for a picture?
No.
Too fucking right I wasn't. I was pumping that shit hard and fast.
He gestured vigorously, pumping his hand toward and away from his mouth as he wagged his tongue back and forth. So you're saying I should do the same thing with the gas pump? I started stroking the hose up and down just like I remembered Pa doing to that cop's wiener.
Jesus Christ, Dougie, you look like a goddamn faggot. I swear to God, if you ain't done by the time Mr. Henry wakes up, I'm gonna drive off and leave your retarded ass here.
I'm doing my best, Pa. I can't pump no faster than...
Hey! Shouted Mr. Henry from the other side of the window. You stay right there!
Shit!
Said Pa, turning on the truck engine. I pulled the nozzle out and hung it up on the pump, but when I turned back around, I found myself in a cloud of exhaust as Pa's truck hightailed it out of the parking lot and onto Highway 59.
Bill, you son of a bitch!
Mr. Henry yelled after him as he stormed out of the shop and zipped up his pants.
You get back here and pay for that gas, or I'll God damn it!
He lowered his shaking fist and looked down at the large dark spot starting at his crotch and running down his left pant leg.
I done pissed myself again.
I tried to back away silently, hoping I could slip away before he saw me, but Pa's lingering exhaust fumes made me cough. Mr. Henry turned around and glared at me through the thick lenses of his horn-rimmed glasses. I was paralyzed with fear, but also fascination as I stared at the pea puddle expanding around his left shoe.
Well, well, well,
said Mr. Henry, tucking his thumbs under his suspenders.
What have we here? You're Bill Myers's boy, ain't you?
I nodded. My name's Dougie. Mr. Henry squinted at the gas pump.
Your daddy owes me $18.74 for that gas he just drove off with.
He's good for it, I assured him. He's due for a paycheck next time he gets a job.
Oh, I think you can work it off just fine. With your mouth.
You want me to sing for you? Mr. Henry laughed.
You're gonna do a lot more than sing, boy. You're gonna squeal like a sow with the cattle prod shoved up her twat.
I thought for a moment about what that might sound like, and I wasn't quite sure my voice had the range to pull it off. I reckon I can try. If I do good, is there any chance you'll throw in a hot dog? Mr. Henry's suspenders snapped against his chest as he let them go to unzip his pants.
Oh, believe me, son. You're gonna take all the wiener I can shove down your throat. I just hope you don't mind it tasting a little like piss.
That seemed like an unnecessarily honest self-critique of his wares, but I ain't had nothing to eat since yesterday when Pa and I finished off what was left of that dog he hit with his truck last week. That's awful generous of you, I said.
Shut your yapping,
Mr. Henry nodded toward the building.
You see that bucket of Boner Bob's all-purpose lube?
I followed his gaze and recognized the bucket immediately.
Sure, Pa used that stuff to weatherproof our neighbor's deck, and I accidentally walked in on him in the bathroom one time while he was using it to weatherproof his wiener.
Go on over there and take the lid off the bucket.
That seemed easy enough. If these were the kinds of chores Mr. Henry needed done at the gas station, I hoped he'd consider taking me on full time. The lid came off easily. I held it up to him and smiled.
Like this?
Yeah, he said, reaching down the front of his pants. That's real good. Now take off your shirt and rub a big handful of that all over your...
Something above him suddenly caught his attention.
Holy fucking shit!
A big silvery saucer-shaped object fell out of the sky and landed on Mr. Henry. It was as wide around as Pa's truck was from his front Confederate plate to the rubber testicles hanging from his trailer hitch. It stood about a foot off the ground on three spindly legs with little wheels on the ends. Mr. Henry lay motionless underneath it like a crushed beer can. Looking up, I saw two of the strangest-looking people I've ever seen in my life sitting under a transparent dome that covered the top of the saucer. Their skin was gray, and neither one of them had a follicle of hair sprouting from their big bulbous heads. The smaller one stared curiously back at me with his huge black eyes, but the bigger one hardly seemed to be aware they'd landed as he swigged back green liquid from a glass beaker. I ain't never met a foreigner before, so I was a little nervous about being an ambassador for my country. But it was my patriotic duty to give these folks a good first impression of America. So I raised my hand in greeting and spoke some words of foreign I'd picked up in school. Merci jihad hamburguesa. I wasn't exactly sure what that translated to, but it seemed to be enough to break the ice. The dome atop their vehicle dematerialized, and the two strange men stepped out. The bigger one stumbled out, staggered toward the building, then lifted his impressively large gray wiener to spray bluish-green urine on the wall. The smaller one stepped out much more gracefully and mimicked my hand gesture back at me.
Glubnub.
I didn't remember glubnub from my foreign class. Maybe that was advanced foreign, or maybe... Of course! His name was Glubnub!
Glubnub, I repeated, pointing to him. Then I pointed to myself.
Dougie!
Dougie,
he repeated slowly.
I was so excited. We were actually communicating. That's right, I said. I'm Dougie, and the guy you landed on is Mr. Henry.
I pointed to Mr. Henry.
Glubnub leaned his big head over to peer under the vehicle.
Frabble glip zoop!
He shrieked when he saw Mr. Henry still lying there motionless. The bigger one lowered the beaker from his mouth, stopped peeing on the wall, and turned around.
Zoop frabble frabble!
He looked under the vehicle, and his giant black eyes grew even larger.
Sklub fubble muck!
After quickly gulping down what green liquid remained in his beaker, he threw the beaker against the wall and hopped back into his vehicle. The transparent dome almost instantly rematerialized.
Glipzorb Nifron!
Glubnub shouted, but the bigger one didn't seem to even hear him as the vehicle's engine whirred to life. The landing gear retracted up into the lower body of the craft, which hung suspended in the air for a second before ascending into the sky and flying out of sight over the trees. Pa says foreign cars are shit, but I ain't never seen his Dodge do nothing like that. Glubnub seemed far less impressed. If I had to guess, based on the milky white liquid rolling down his cheeks from his big black eyes, I'd even go as far as to say he was sad. Was that your paw? I asked.
Glubnub sniffled through his nostril slits.
Paw.
Don't you worry. My paw left me here, too. Let's go inside and get some hot dogs. Mr. Henry said I can have as many as I can eat.
Dougie. Hot dog.
I smiled at him. That's right, Glubnub. Hot dog. You're gonna love them. I took him by his three-fingered hand and led him inside.
2. Mr. Henry was far too critical of the food he served. By the time Glubnub and I were done, we'd eaten 3 hot dogs each, and I didn't taste even the slightest hint of pee on any of them. Glubnub seemed to really enjoy them, too, and he also seemed fascinated with all the other wonders America had to offer here in this gas station convenience store. He tore open bags of potato chips, pork rinds, and beef jerky, sampling each one before excitedly moving on to the next. He stopped when he reached the beer cooler, staring up in awe at the wall of Silver Coors Light cans. Perhaps it reminded him of his daddy, as they were the same color as the car that had just flown off without him. "That's beer," I said, hoping to distract him before he started getting emotional again. "Pa says I can't drink it until I got as much hair around my wiener as I got in my head. But since you ain't got none on neither, I reckon it's okay for you." I opened the cooler door, pulled out a can, and cracked it open for him.
"Wiener," said Glubnub, accepting the can and staring curiously into the open top. "No," I corrected him, "beer." He stared at me with his huge black eyes. "Beer?"
I smiled and nodded. "That's right. You drink it, like this." I pantomimed drinking from an invisible can.
He put the can to his lips and tilted his big head back slowly, farther and farther until he'd drunk the entire can. After a long, loud belch, he tossed the empty can on the ground, opened the cooler door, and grabbed another.
"Beer!"
He tried to drink, but the can wasn't open.
"Wait, Glubnub," I said. "You've got to..."
"Beer!"
he said, furiously trying to shake beer from the can into his mouth.
"Beer!"
Frustrated by his inability to drink, he hurled the can at the cooler, shattering the glass door.
"Glubnub," I said, "calm down. You've got to open it first."
I picked his can up from the broken glass on the floor and held it in front of him to demonstrate. When I pulled up the tab, beer foam sprayed up like a geyser into his face.
"Quah!"
he shrieked, somehow causing the fluorescent ceiling lights to explode all around the store.
"I'm sorry, Glubnub, that was my fault. Please calm down."
I hurriedly reached for another beer from the cooler, but cut my arm on a jagged edge of the broken glass.
"Shit!"
"Shit?"
said Glubnub. "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have used that kind of language. It just slipped out because I hurt myself. See?" I showed him my bleeding forearm. He raised his middle finger at me.
"Shit!"
In spite of my injury, I couldn't help but laugh. "No, Glubnub, that means something different. I probably shouldn't teach you this, but that means fuck you." The tip of Glubnub's finger started glowing red.
"Fuck you."
I stood there paralyzed with awe as he reached over and touched my arm. The wound healed right before my very eyes.
"Thanks, Glubnub," I said.
Then I cracked open the beer and offered it to him.
"Beer,"
he said excitedly, grabbing the beer out of my hand with both of his. He guzzled down the whole can without even stopping to take a breath. "Looks like we found something you like even more than hot dogs. Do they have beer where you're from?" I pulled a map of my town off a standing rack and unfolded it. "Here's the gas station where we are, and this is Hello Titty over here. That was easily identifiable as the town's most prominent structure. And my house is over here. It ain't marked on the map on account of we tend to move it around a lot. Hopefully Pa won't have moved it again before I have a chance to walk home.
Home?
That's right, Glubnub. Home. I held the map in front of him. Where is your home?
Glubnub pointed at the ceiling.
Home.
No, Glubnub, that's just a big mildew stain. I'm asking you about your home. Where are you from?
I jostled the map in front of him again to help him understand the question.
He pushed the map away and pointed to the beer cooler. I was ready to give up this line of questioning when I saw Coors Light cans float out of the cooler, suspended in the air like they was hanging from invisible strings. One can rotated in place while the other cans began revolving around in increasingly larger circles. Then some spilled M&Ms floated up from the floor and started revolving around the fifth can out from the center, all of them brown except for a single red one. Glubnub pointed up at the red M&M.
Home.
I stared thoughtfully down at the map for a moment, then looked up at the red M&M.
So, where's that? Like, Africa or something?
Africa.
Glubnub let the center can descend down into his hand. He pulled the tab up just like I showed him and started drinking.
Ask police!
Bellowed a loud voice from the entrance.
Come out with your hands up!
The rest of the Coors Light cans fell to the floor simultaneously, and Glubnub looked terrified as he chugged down his third.
Don't worry, I whispered to him. Just stay here and be quiet. I'll go see what they want.
I stepped out from the snack aisle with my hands in the air. Two huge men in black body armor were pointing assault rifles directly at me.
State your name and race,
shouted the one on the left.
My name's Dougie Myers. I'm white.
Both men breathed a sigh of relief and lowered their weapons.
My name is Agent Freedom, said the one on the right. This is Agent Justice. We are agents of ASS.
I don't reckon I'm familiar with ASS. I mean, at least in this context.
American Schutzstaffel. We got a report of possible Mexican activity in the area.
Sorry, Mr. Freedom, I don't know nothing about that.
Agents Freedom and Justice backed out of the entrance and pointed to Mr. Henry, flattened and bloody just where we'd left him.
Then how do you explain that? Asked Agent Justice. It certainly looks gang-related to me.
Agent Freedom spat out a wad of tobacco spit.
We've got three witnesses who claim to have seen a giant silver sombrero fleeing the scene. So spill your guts, kid. Tell us what you know.
I swear I don't know nothing, I said. The only ones in here are me and my friend Glubnub.
Glubnub, huh? Sure sounds Mexican to me. Stand aside, boy.
Agent Justice stomped past me, and Agent Freedom followed after him.
Wait! I cried. Don't hurt him! He ain't Mexican! He's from Africa!
A chilling thought suddenly occurred to me. Was Africa in Mexico? I was about to chase after them when I saw Agent Justice slip on a blue puddle expanding from behind the snack aisle. He fell backward into Agent Freedom, and they both hit the floor hard.
Nibmoo!
Glubnub yelled as he ran past them with a Coors Light can in each hand. He continued screaming with terror as he ran out the door. Not knowing what else to do, I ran out behind him. Outside the gas station, a white motorcycle with a sidecar purred with the engine still running. The word ASS was painted in bold black letters on either side of it. Glubnub jumped into the sidecar and gestured for me to join him.
Freeze boom!
I didn't remember ever learning such a phrase in school, but somehow I had a strong feeling that frizz boom was foreign for you drive.
I don't know how to drive a motorcycle, I said, but I hopped onto the main seat just the same. Inside the shop, I saw agents Freedom and Justice scrambling to stand up in Glubnub's pee puddle.
Hey, you two! Get off that bike this instant! You are violating Uncle Sam's ass!
What are we going to do, Glubnub? I asked, frantically pushing all the buttons and dials. But none of them responded to anything I did.
Enough of this, said Agent Freedom, leveling his rifle at us. Let us show these kids what ass tastes like.
I closed my eyes in anticipation of getting shot. The gun sounded like when Pa set off fireworks inside the hornet nest that had formed outside our kitchen window, except these were louder, lasted longer, and surprisingly resulted in a lot less pain. When I opened my eyes again, I couldn't believe what I saw. Not only was I not riddled with bullets, but me and Glubnub was flying more than 50 feet in the air on the ass motorcycle. Below us, the town looked just like the map I'd shown Glubnub at the gas station. Hello Titty stood out as the most recognizable landmark a few miles ahead, and it looked like that's where we were headed. 3. I wasn't sure if either of us were steering. As much as I tried to push the handlebars from side to side, it didn't seem to make much difference. Whatever force was guiding the ass bike seemed to know where it wanted us to go. For a brief but terrifying moment, I wondered if ass had installed some kind of homing device on their motorcycles. Then I reasoned that if that were the case, they'd probably be headed to the police station, which was on the other side of town next to Judd's Tits and Wings, instead of Hello Titty. If it was some kind of ass-inserted device, they still had some bugs to work out. Instead of coming in for a gentle landing on the street out front of Hello Titty, we were heading for a crash landing on the roof.
"Hold on, Glubnub," I said. "I reckon this is gonna hurt."
"Hurt?"
Glubnub raised his middle finger at me, the tip of which began glowing red again.
"Fuck you."
Boy, did I ever feel like a little bitch, baby. Glubnub was right. Falling out of the sky onto a concrete rooftop wasn't nothing to whine about. Glubnub's family back in Africa probably did stuff like that every day. "I'm sorry, I don't mean to complain all the time. I just ain't used to..."
"Yow!"
cried Glubnub right before we plowed straight into half a dozen barrels of Boner Bob's all-purpose lube. They must have been getting ready to resurface the roof. It was a heck of a landing, and I was surprised to come out of it alive. I'll admit now that it hurt quite a bit, but I wasn't about to say so right after Glubnub called me out for being a bitch baby. Fortunately, Glubnub seemed mostly unharmed as well. He got out of the motorcycle sidecar and staggered around a little before he got his bearings. When he was finally able to stand upright without swaying, he cracked open the Coors Light can he'd brought along for the ride and chugged the whole thing down in one go.
"We'd better get out of here," I said when I noticed the growing puddles surrounding the damaged lube barrels.
If they were planning to spread this stuff all over the roof anyway, we might have just saved them the trouble. But I wasn't sure they'd see it that way. Besides, it wouldn't do us any good to get caught next to the stolen ass bike that we'd just wrecked. I grabbed Glubnub by the hand and led him down the stairs that led to the store.
"Who the hell are you?"
asked the woman behind the counter. She was big and black, like the kind of women Pa says abuses our welfare system, making it harder for honest white folks like him to pretend to look for a job. Her boobs were big enough to set a tray of food on while she sat down to watch TV. I was in love.
"What's the matter with you?" she asked. "Are you boys retarded?"
I snapped out of my daydream of smothering to death between her giant brown breasts.
"I'm Dougie, and this is my friend Glubnub."
"Are you the ones who made all that noise on the roof just a minute ago?"
"Yes, ma'am," I admitted, staring down at my feet. "The motorcycle we were flying in crash-landed there. I'm sorry."
"Don't worry about it. We were just about to have the roof resurfaced anyway. Welcome to Hello Titty."
I'm Vonda.
It's a pleasure to meet you, I said, looking up but trying not to stare at her chest. Instead, I stared at a poster on the wall behind her. It was a picture of a woman, her eyes closed and mouth open, kneeling inside a circle of naked men. At the top of the poster, printed in bold white letters, it read, End Racism. At the bottom, in a more stylized font, it read, After all, we're all white when covered in semen. It warmed my heart to see such a progressive message in our town's largest place of business.
That's quite a big dick you're packing, sugar, said Vonda,
suddenly tearing my attention away from the poster.
Huh?
I said, all the blood in my body rushing toward my face and my wiener at once.
Thank you.
Vonda laughed.
I sure as fuck wasn't talking to you, Q-tip. I was talking to your little Mexican friend with the big chimichanga between his legs.
He's actually from Africa, and that's his wiener.
Wiener,
Glubnub confirmed. He waddled up to the counter and stared at a large device in the glass display case. I wasn't sure exactly what it was, but it looked like some kind of power tool used for heavy construction.
That's the Rectal Wrecker 3000, said Vonda, taking it out of the display case and setting it on the counter. Why don't you follow me to the back room and I'll show you how it works?
Can I come too? I asked.
Vonda smiled at me. I'm sorry, but I need someone to stay here and look after the store.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure why exactly, but I felt a little resentful toward Glubnub when the door to the back room closed behind him and Vonda. It wasn't his fault she chose him over me. No, it was silly to even make that assumption. There was no evidence to suggest that her interest in him went any further than strictly professional. He'd expressed interest in a product she was selling, and it was her job to make the sale. I laughed to myself at how foolish I was being, but those pangs of resentment kept resurfacing while Vonda and Glubnub spent a conspicuously long time in the back room. The muffled noises I heard from the other side of the door sounded like someone trying to fight off a pack of wolves with a lawnmower. In an effort to distract myself, I flipped through a copy of Hustle Horror magazine. It was the semi-annual amputee edition. I didn't think it was fair to call these people disabled, as they were able to accomplish some pretty impressive feats that I could never hope to pull off with all these limbs in the way. Not a single person in the whole magazine was wearing a stitch of clothing. That was probably because most of their tricks involved inserting parts of themselves into parts of other people. But it sure did make my wiener feel strange, and it made me even more resentful of all the attention Vonda was giving to Glubnub. Maybe I was wrong to be so resentful of my new friend's happiness, but it was hardly right for them to expect me to watch over the store all this time while they were in there doing who knows what. When I got to Old Man Cockadoodle's poultry farm advertisement at the back of the magazine, I put it down and resolved to go back there and give them a piece of my mind. But just as I took my first step toward the back door, I noticed something shiny spreading across the floor from the stairs. Oh, no! Pretty soon the whole floor would be covered with Boner Bob's all-purpose lube. I was going to be in so much trouble. I scanned the store for cleaning supplies until I spotted a cooter router up on a shelf behind the counter. The box boasted over a dozen attachments, so I thought the odds were good that one of them might be a mop head or something. Hopping over the counter, I grabbed the box off the shelf and spilled out all of the pieces. Most of them were plastic wieners of varying shapes and sizes, but there was also a fist, a squid, and a giraffe tongue. None of them looked even remotely useful for cleaning gallons and gallons of lube off the floor. That's when I heard the door handle click behind me. Now I wasn't only going to get in trouble for the lube, but also for taking a brand new cooter router out of the box. But when the door opened, only Glubnub was standing there. He was bleary-eyed and smoking a cigarette. Vonda was nowhere to be seen. Where's Vonda? I asked.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?